Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Now, we're going to fast forward in David's reign 20 years into the future, and we arrive from the last chapter to the events in this chapter. So 20 years has passed. But as I just demonstrated, being 20 years older does not mean being 20 years more mature. This chapter tells us that David counts the fighting men. Now, by the way, that was forbidden in the book of Deuteronomy, when God told the people of Israel never to number themselves. Why? Well, it was a way that the kings made their decisions on whether or not they could win a battle. But if you recall, when David trusted the Lord, he was always victorious. Numbering the people demonstrates that David is beginning to lead like Saul. And we're all a little bit like Saul, aren't we? I mean, Saul depended on his own strength, and here David is beginning to forsake trusting God and beginning to depend on his own numbers, aka his own abilities. Now, it doesn't matter what kind of leader you are or how holy you think you are. If all our mistakes and failures were projected onto a movie screen, as the lives of many of the Old Testament believers were, we'd find a whole lot that would tell us of our need for Jesus. We all have failings, struggles, and major screw-ups in our lives. Do you know why? Because you're not Jesus. Now, Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth, we're told, and yet he screwed up when he struck the rock instead of obeying God by speaking to it. Abraham was also God's chosen man, but he lied to two kings to get out of a jam and brought shame to God's name. David was a man after God's heart. But he screwed up here by numbering the people, and the result was a plague that comes upon the people. In fact, 1 Chronicles presents David so strongly as a type of the Messiah, overlooking all of his sins, passing them by, but the writers know that if they don't present at least one of David's sins in the narrative, we would be confused and maybe think the Messiah had come, and it was David. Therefore, we need to see David screwing up, but 1 Chronicles will not focus on that. Instead, it paints a picture of Christ, but reminds us that David wasn't Jesus, no more than you and I are. Verse 1, by the way, tells us that Satan incited David. Verse 1, Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the troops, "Go and count the Israelites from Beersheba to Dan. Then report back to me so that I may also know how many there are." Not all of our good ideas are from God. I think you've had some bad ones, and I know I've had my share of doozies, like burping on Through the Word, just to make a point. But lest you think this passage is a devil-made-me-do-it kind of affair, this was more of a suggestion from Satan, one that seemed like a good idea to David at the time, but actually came from a nefarious and dubious source. Satan whispers in our ears at times, doesn't he? Just like he did to Adam and Eve. "The devil made me do it" is an absolute cop-out. Satan can't make us do anything, and James says God doesn't tempt, but each one is dragged away and enticed by their own desires. Satan, though, can also make a bad idea seem like a really good one, as he did in the case of David here. So therefore, we've got to hold to God's word. Had David been clinging to the book of Deuteronomy that forbade him to do this, he would have passed this test or temptation with flying colors. Remember when Satan tempted Jesus? All of Satan's ideas sounded good too, and that was the problem. When you read the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at those and think, yeah, that sounded like a great idea. Maybe I wouldn't even recognize the sin in turning a piece of stone to a loaf of bread. But Jesus did. He knew God's word well, and he recognized temptation when it came. "If you're the Son of God, command those stones to become bread. Take the power of the world so that they all worship you." Well, the problem was, Jesus was fasting in dependence on the Father. Jesus was waiting for the Father to work through the Holy Spirit to bring people to him. He wasn't taking a shortcut. You see, those are bad ideas that were made to look like good ideas. But Jesus knew the word of God, and if you remember, he quoted back to him in every temptation the very book that David himself should have remembered, Deuteronomy. Believers, sometimes the only way that we can keep ourselves free of falling into temptation unknowingly, like Adam and Eve, is to know the Word of God. They had one commandment, and had they meditated on it, they would have remembered. And David, as a king, was commanded in the book of Deuteronomy to read the book of Deuteronomy once a year. And this would have also kept him from committing this sin. Verse 6 tells us that even Joab knows this is a bad idea. But Joab did not include Levi and Benjamin in the numbering because the king's command was repulsive to him. This command was also evil in the sight of God. So God punished Israel. Then David said to God, "I have sinned greatly by doing this. Now I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing." The Lord said to Gad, David's seer, "Go and tell David, this is what the Lord says. I am giving you three options. Choose one of them for me to carry out against you." So Gad went to David and said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Take your choice. 3 years of famine, 3 months of being swept away before your enemies, with their swords overtaking you, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord, days of plague in the land, and the angel of the Lord ravaging every part of Israel. Now then, decide how I should answer the one who sent me." David said to Gad, "I am in deep distress. Let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great, but do not let me fall into human hands." So the Lord sent the plague on Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell dead. So much for his numbers, eh? Verse 15, "And God sent an angel to destroy Jerusalem. But as the angel was doing so, the Lord saw it and relented concerning the disaster and said to the angel who is destroying the people, 'Enough, withdraw your hand.' The angel of the Lord was standing at the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. David looked up and saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth with a drawn sword in his hand extended over Jerusalem." It would be an understatement to say that this passage has baffled many. Why would God judge his people? Why would David's sin cause so many innocent to lose their lives? And what's the deal with the giant angel standing between heaven and earth? Well, first off, God judges his people simply because of sin. There are no innocent people. The only thing that holds God's wrath back is sacrifice, as in this passage. It deflects and absorbs his wrath for sin because, as we see here, God is a merciful God. The passage gives us a picture of the angel of the Lord who stands between the people and judgment. Whenever you see the angel of the Lord in Scripture, it's Jesus in a pre-incarnate appearance. Are you ready for the word of the day, kids? It's called a theophany, an appearance of Christ before the manger. And this is one of them. Here we see David, human, frail, and a sinner, resembling a type of Adam and bringing sin on the rest of humanity, whereas Christ represents the only one who can stop the tide of wrath and judgment as it sweeps across all of humanity. And as Scripture teaches us, the only thing that can save us and them is sacrifice. Remember, believers, salvation may be free, but it's only free to me and you. It always costs someone, and it costs the Son of God dearly. Jesus stands between you and the tide of God's wrath, and he alone absorbed it for you and me. This chapter actually contains the heart of the gospel, and what appears to be a confusing passage at first becomes one of the most clear passages in Scripture when viewed through the rear mirror of the gospel. At the end of this chapter, we see the very place where the plague stopped and the angel of the threshing floor stood. David was to build the temple, the very place where sacrifices for sins for the people would be made. Well, thanks for joining us today on Through the Word. We'll see you tomorrow in chapter 22.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.